views expressed on this program are those of the hosts, guests, and callers, and are not necessarily those of this station, its management, or other advertisers. You're listening to Transformation Talk Radio.
Moms, are you ready to become enlightened, empowered, and stress-free? Well, get ready because you are about to tune into vibrant, powerful moms helping everyday women create an extraordinary life with Debbie Pokornik. Each week, Debbie discusses topics to help you become self-aware, inspired, and on track to create the life you crave. It's time to stop settling and start thriving. And it all begins now on Transformation Talk Radio.
Welcome to the Vibrant Powerful Mom Show. I'm your host, Debbie Pokornik, and my mission is to help as many women as possible awaken to those parts of themselves that they might have disconnected from so that they can create a life they love and feel empowered to help others do the same. For the last 2 weeks, I had Nikki Williams on my show talking about hormones and how easily they can get out of balance, especially once we reach perimenopause, which apparently can start as early as 35 years old for some of us. Now, part of our conversation was around her happy hormone code, which involved making changes in four basic areas of your life, namely diet, the food you're eating, relaxation and sleep, that kind of thing, toxic load, and exercise or movement. Now, during the discussion, I realized that I have been on the Detox Your Life program for a lot of years now, more than 15, probably closer to 20. And during that time, I have learned a lot of ways to decrease my toxic load. And I totally recall how overwhelming it was when I first started learning about it. So I thought that I should share some of my tips with you. I really wanted to share them during the interview with Nikki, but that would have taken up the whole show. And actually, as it turns out, as I started to create the list of what I'd share with you, I realized I had so much information that I could divide it into two more shows. So that means that the month of July in 2018 is pretty much dedicated to hormone balance in one way or another. Today, I'm going to focus mainly on household products, and then next week, I'm going to get into personal products that I use. Now, for both of these sessions, I'm going to mention some name brands, but I want you to know that there are other options out there. These are just the ones that I use because they are what I have found, what I have access to. I know that when I travel, I find a lot of different products out there. So don't feel like you have to go with the same products that I use. It's more about awareness and tuning into what you are using and what's in what you are using so that you can decrease the toxic load in your home. Okay. Some of my stuff I've totally fallen in love with, and others, you know what? I just really use them more out of necessity because they work, because they are environmentally friendly. So let me tell you about where my interest in toxic load all began. The first book that I read on this topic that completely changed my outlook on the many products that I use in my home, on my body, you know, on my lawn and all of that was by a woman named Dr. Hulda Clark. She wrote several books. They all start with The Cure for All. So there's The Cure for All Diseases, The Cure for All Cancers, and so on. And at the time, there was a person in my family dealing with cancer. So I started with The Cure for All Cancers and then moved over to The Cure for All Diseases. Now, she highlighted that toxins are a problem. The toxins that are put in these products that we are using are a really big problem for all of us. But even going beyond that, she said that those companies that are consciously trying to do the right things, some of them are still using things like isopropyl alcohol, for example, to clean their machines. Their assembly line gets cleaned with isopropyl alcohol, which is like rubbing alcohol. And one of her main tenets was that isopropyl, or rubbing alcohol, feeds cancer cells. So if you have a cancer diagnosis, or if you're a cancer survivor, or even if you're just trying to prevent cancer, balance your hormones, she suggested that you absolutely must avoid most store-bought items. Now, her book actually caused me to swing a little too far, I think, to the pure side. So I started out by getting rid of all my body products, my shampoos, conditioners, perfumes, moisturizers, and all of my household cleaning products. So bleach, ammonia, dishwashing detergent, dishwasher detergent, even that rinse aid, laundry detergents, and so on. According to Hulda, we really only need about 4 or 5 products in our home. So I was all in, and I think I put myself into a state of overwhelm by going all in. So let me try to help you by breaking it down into sections. I'll give you a bit about what I did and what I do now, and then you can decide for yourself what works for you. You certainly don't have to do what I do. So for laundry, I switched to a product called Borax, which is natural. You buy it in the laundry section of most stores. It's in a green box. It has a mule on the front and a person walking with the mule, I think. And then I mixed it with Arm & Hammer soap, which I also was able to get just in my normal laundry section. But apparently, Arm & Hammer is a pure soap product. I added tea tree oil as an antibacterial, and I used vinegar to make the rinses work so that it would soften the clothes, and it was supposed to keep them from getting too staticky, but I have to say sometimes my clothes do get staticky. So over time, this became a little bit of a pain, and I slowly started to look for different products I could use that were friendly to the environment and still worked well for my clothes. So currently I use Ecos, which I just get at Costco. And I also use OxiClean for an extra boost when I need it to make the clothes look brighter and whiter. Now, I'm not sure how pure those two are. I have read about them. They look like they're good. They talk about being environmentally friendly. And most importantly for me, I don't get a rash from them. I don't get a headache from them. They smell nice, but my clothes don't have a strong smell from them. Plus, I find that because I use a front load washer, I hardly have to use any detergent in it at all. And then, so I can feel good about it. I never use fabric softeners or dryer sheets in my dryer, but I do use the plain white vinegar that I mentioned, and I put that in the rinse cycle dispenser. And now I like to add essential oil blends. It's called Purity by doTERRA. doTERRA is my essential oil company of choice. I just love them. I love what they stand for, and they have very pure, beautiful products. So I like to add that into my load. I plan to try those magnets. I don't know if you've heard about the magnets, but the magnets that go in your washer and then you don't have to use soap at all. But I haven't gone there yet, so I really can't give you an opinion on them as to whether they work or not. I also have wool dryer balls, which I add an essential oil to when I really want something to smell fresh. I just feel like adding a lemony smell or an orange smell or something that just feels good. Picks me up, that kind of thing. And I also used a clothesline for many years instead of the dryer. But again, I found the clothesline to be a lot of work. And sometimes like my towels would be really stiff and hard. Or where I live, there's the roads are gravel. So the dust from that would sometimes get on my clothes. Or if a farmer was burning in a field, then there would be some smoky smell on my clothes. And I didn't like that. It was just too much work to put the clothes out there. Sometimes they'd even blow off the line and I'd be chasing them across my yard. So I didn't love the clothesline. My mother-in-law who lived with me absolutely loved the clothesline and used it all the time. I didn't love it, but I did use it for many years, and I sure learned to love what the sun could do. So if anything ever gets a moggy smell or if it just needs some freshening up, I use the power of the sun to deal with it. I put it outside, put it on a chair or whatever and let it sit in the sun. I also like to put new items that might be off-gassing. So when you buy something, it doesn't even have to be clothes. It could be something in a plastic wrapper. When you open it up, and you can smell it. You can, I don't know what you might call it. It's not new car smell for sure, but new item smell, then that means it's off-gassing. And that off-gas is often toxic to us. So when I get something new, I will take it outside and put it in the sun and let the sun do its magic. And if it's something that the sun would be too hard on, then I put it outside in the shade and I let the fresh air of nature do its magic. So simple tip number one for your laundry is to notice and remember that your laundry, as in your clothes, your sheets, your towels, they are touching your body pretty much all day long, every day. So this is an area where it's really worth it to become aware of what you can do to decrease the toxins. Take a look at what you're using, do a little bit of research on it, and notice if there's something you can change, because you are definitely going to be absorbing the toxins if you're having them touch your body all the time. And I have to say, the softeners seem to be the more evil of the two, the bigger problem. So really pay attention to those. Also, a very simple tip, use the power of nature to help you freshen things up. Sunshine costs you nothing, and it's a super powerful cleanser. Now, I mentioned back in all that, that I use tea tree oil in my laundry. And I want to tell you that it turns out tea tree is probably the best lice deterrent out there. So when my kids were in the younger years in school and lice would make its way into the classroom and we'd get that dreaded note that says, you know, someone's got has lice, so please check your kids, my kids never seemed to get it. Now, it's quite possible that the tea tree on their clothes was enough to repel anything like the lice that wanted to jump onto them, but I wasn't taking any chances. So when that happened, I would also add a drop or two to their shampoo and they just never seemed to get it. Now, if lice is not an issue where you live, you might be kind of freaking out right now and thinking, what? Dirty people, lice? But no, the truth is that lice doesn't care if you're dirty or if you're clean. It is an issue in a lot of schools, a lot of daycares. No matter how clean your kids are, they can get lice. So the toxic shampoo that is suggested to help you get rid of lice when your kids get it, oh my gosh, it's horrific for the body. And I definitely would not put it on my own child's body. So tea tree is a really gentle, beautiful, health-affirming way to deal with that. So just a quick story about that. A friend of mine had a daughter that had really bad reoccurring lice. They did all the stuff they were told to do. They bought the toxic shampoo many times. They tried it again and again. They emptied her room out. They took everything, put it in plastic bags. They fumigated the house. They did everything they could think of. And still, just when they thought they were getting rid of it, more lice would appear. And so one day her daughter was coming over and my friend phoned to say, I'm so sorry, she'll keep a hat on the whole time, but she does have lice and I just want to make sure you know. And I said to her, you know what? I'm not worried. My kids are around lice all the time and they never get it. And I think it's because I use tea tree. So this started a whole conversation about tea tree and how I use it. And I ended up sending her home with a bottle of it with instructions to put it on her hands, on the palms of her hands, and run it through her daughter's hair before she goes to bed and add some of it to a spray bottle, spray her pillow, her bed, everything, add it to their laundry, put it in everybody's shampoo in the house because they could all be getting it. And so she did all of this. And later she told me that when she would be working through her daughter's hair looking for any nits, she would find lice that actually were coming out of her daughter's scalp. So the eggs the lice had laid actually went in the scalp and burrowed in there. And that's why these reinfestations kept occurring. But now that she was using the tea tree, the lice couldn't handle it and they had to get out. So they came out from where they had burrowed and this fixed the problem for good. So if you have a problem with lice, this is not just a safer way to treat it. It definitely will lower your toxic load, but it's also a much more effective way as well. Find a really good quality tea tree oil. It's sometimes called Melaleuca because that's its official name. Don't get it mistaken with the product Melaleuca. Just look for a tea tree oil or an oil that is called Melaleuca. And if your kids are school age, buy a bottle. Use it often at any time for sure that you get that dreaded lice outbreak message. It really can change things for you. So let's move on to cleaning. For cleaning my house using Hulda's instructions, I used a homemade cleaner made of vinegar, water, and vodka because vodka is a grain alcohol and it does the same thing as isopropyl alcohol does, except that it wasn't the problem. According to Hulda, it does not feed the cancer. So unless you're, of course, if you're drinking it all the time, then it is going to cause a problem. So this isn't about drinking it. This is about putting a little bit in your bottle of cleaner. And then I also bought a food-grade hydrogen peroxide, and I use that whenever I would normally use bleach or ammonia or, you know, where you had to do those really deep, big cleans, like if I found mold in the house or if there was an accident, maybe one of the dogs had an accident or something. Food-grade peroxide was part of that cleanup protocol. Now, here's the thing with food grade peroxide. The stuff you buy in the store is not food grade. It's 3% or 6% in concentration, and it has other things added in. The pure food grade is 35% concentration. So it is much stronger, and you must dilute it to use it. But when it's at 35%, and probably even when it's cut in half, maybe even in quarters, if you get it on your skin, it feels like it's burning you and your skin turns white. Now, within 15 or 20 minutes, the whiteness is gone, you're no longer being burnt, and all is fine. But it isn't a pleasant feeling. So a lot of people are turned off of it by that. So that was a bit of a challenge for us. I got used to it. It wasn't a problem for me anymore. But an even greater problem was that peroxide will actually melt the rubber of an eyedropper or even the plastic parts of a spray bottle. So if I didn't dilute it enough and I put it in my glass bottle to spray on things with water, then it would cause the mechanism that allowed it to spray to melt and then it didn't work anymore. So there's a few little tricks you have to get used to if you're going to use food grade hydrogen peroxide, but I want you to know it is beautiful, especially if somebody has a fungus, like on their toes, let's say, or if they have an infection or even something that could become infected. It is the best way that I've ever found to really clean that wound. You can also put a cup or so in a bathtub full of water. It's beautiful for helping you to detox. It's very refreshing and helps you to be really squeaky clean. And I also found it wonderful for cleaning vegetables or fruits that I bought that weren't organic. It revitalizes them and it would take any of the pesticides, insecticides, that kind of stuff off of it. So you just have to be very careful when you use it and make sure you're really diluting it. Now, Norwex also made my cleaning life easier. I used their cloths, mops, and other products, and that meant that I could clean with just water and still wind up with spotless windows, mirrors, tables, floors, that kind of thing. Now, I always add some doTERRA essential oils to my spray bottles with water so that my house still smells fresh after I've cleaned it. It gives that lemon smell or lavender, orange bliss, whatever I happen to use and whatever I feel like enjoying that day. So the house has a very beautiful, fresh smell after cleaning. In line with that, I never ever use those sprays that they sell to cover up or deodorize your room. There's one out right now that is super, super popular. It's even being added to laundry detergents and garbage bags. It is not toxin-free. And so you really want to be aware if you're going to spray something like that in the air to freshen it up, it's not as safe as it sounds. And so my simple tip number two is, if you like to spray that around to freshen up your house, is to find a glass spray bottle, fill it with water, get one bottle of essential oil that you really like, make sure it's a good quality one, and then you can spray that on your carpet, your drapes, your couches, your dog beds, whatever, just in the air. You can have some in the bathroom if you want to have a deodorizer in there. You can also buy the little nebulizers or diffusers. A diffuser is just a container that you put water in, put some drops of essential oil in, and then turn it on, and it just puts a light little mist. It's not a hot mist or anything, but it just puts that out into the air, and it makes a room smell beautiful. There's also great health benefits from it if you're using a good, pure essential oil. And same with the nebulizer, usually just plugs into a wall or plugs into your car lighter or something, and it heats up the oil a little bit and then puts the smell out into the air. So try to avoid the other ones that look like jelly that you would plug into your wall. I know the diffuser, for example, might set you back a little bit more money at the beginning, along with the essential oil. But over the long haul, you will use that diffuser for years and years and years. And even the bottle of essential oil will last you way longer than the things that you buy and plug into the wall. One last note in that regard is about candles. Candles are beautiful, but you have to buy the pure natural ones that are made out of beeswax or soy, and you want to make sure that they don't have any fragrance in them, that they just use essential oils for smells. Unfortunately, the other candles, even if they're unscented, have toxic components, and it's just not helping you. It's not safe. And so why bring it into your environment if you're trying to detox? Shopping. Let me talk just a moment about shopping. Getting rid of my normal deodorant taught me pretty quickly that man-made synthetic material was not good for me. So it turns out these fabrics hold on to bacteria, and then they can cause a smell like BO, because the bacteria actually gets into the clothing itself. As a result, I became aware of the products that my clothing were made from. And now I do my best to buy organic cotton if I can, because the other cotton is sprayed with pesticides and such. Linens, hemp, bamboo, rayon even, because it's at least partly a natural blend. And so now these products are a lot easier to find. I can find a lot of great clothing that way. And I still will wear fleece or poly sometimes, but I usually try to make sure that what's next to my body is going to be natural fabrics. Something else I learned when it comes to shopping is, I went shopping with a friend. I called her my personal shopper. And her and I would go and spend 2 days shopping. And it was just heavenly. We had so much fun. But the clothes that I tried on 1 year, by the end of the second day, I was covered in this rash all over my body. And it turns out that clothing in the stores is covered with formaldehyde. It has something to do with the sizing process. And so there is actually formaldehyde on that clothing. And my body, which had now been cleaned of a bunch of toxins, was not at all happy to suddenly have that on it. So tip number three is, decrease your toxic load by always washing new clothes before wearing them and showering after trying on items in the store. Even if you don't get a rash from them, your body is still having that against it. And if you think about your toxic load, I remember reading another book by a woman, I can't remember her name, but she likened it to a rain barrel, and how your body slowly fills up with toxins. And as it gets fuller, that's when you're going to start to experience new problems like rashes, digestive upset, sleep disturbance, hormone imbalance, that kind of thing. And when it gets to the top, you're in trouble, because now you've reached your tipping point and you'll probably have something major happen to you. So just because you've never experienced a rash from wearing new clothes or shopping for them doesn't mean the formaldehyde isn't poisoning you. So a very simple tip, wash your clothes always, always, always before wearing it. While we're talking about shopping, let me just mention shopping receipts. It turns out that shopping receipts have an endocrine disruptor on them. It mimics estrogen and it throws our hormones off just by touching it. So I often now ask the sales clerk to put the receipt in my bag if I have to keep the receipt. And then when I get home, I actually take it out with tweezers, or I put on gloves and I grab a bag and I pick it up with the bag, and then I put it into an envelope where I keep it if I need it to do a return. And either way, if I've touched it, then I right away try to wash with non-toxic soap and water. And if I don't need the receipt, I simply don't take the receipt. So simple tip number four, when possible, avoid touching cash receipts. And when you must touch them, take the time to wash your hands thoroughly afterwards. Which brings us to hand soap. You really want to pay attention to the hand soap that you're using. It turns out the rubbing of your hands does far more than the soap that you use. And so Hulda Clark taught me that I don't need to use nearly as much soap as I thought I did, but I do need to pay more attention to the amount of rubbing I do when I'm washing my hands. So when I'm in a mall or something and I don't know what kind of soap it is, I spend more time rubbing my hands together. I don't even use their soap. And if I feel like I need soap, then I have a little spray bottle in my purse of a non-alcohol-based hand cleanser that I will use. So tip number five is really to avoid antibacterial soaps unless you work in a hospital or someplace where you have to use them. And just wash your hands by scrubbing more rather than putting on any kind of toxic soaps or antibacterial soaps. My favorite soap right now is another one from doTERRA. It's called On Guard. That's one of their blends in it. It smells heavenly, works perfectly, and it boosts your immune system every time you use it. So really quick, let me tell you about the kitchen because I am out of time here. I now use 7th generation dishwashing soap and E-Cover dishwasher tabs. I use a rinse agent that is also made by E-Cover and they seem to work fine. I try not to use the dry cycle in my dishwasher and I try not to put plastic in my dishwasher. I have gotten rid of a lot of my plastic containers. I now have Pyrex glass dishes that I use. I don't have a microwave. I avoid it. So that wraps up episode one of my Reducing Your Toxic Load information. Next week, I will talk about personal products that I use regularly for my hair, my teeth, my periods, my makeup, my moisturizers, and such. With much respect for you and the journey you are on, this is Debbie Pokornik wishing you a vibrant and powerful day.
You've been listening to Vibrant, Powerful Moms with host Debbie Pokornik. If you've enjoyed this show, please give us a shout out and leave us a positive review. To find out more about Debbie and her sisterhood of Vibrant, Powerful Moms, visit empoweringenergy.com. That's empowering with letters NRG.com.